Morning, church. Super Bowl Sunday. Let's go. You guys fired up for that? I'm so excited for the Super Bowl. And the Niners aren't even in it. Although, look at this. Joe Montana jersey signed with a little off. This thing should be in a frame, but it's not because it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's Super Serve Sunday. You guys excited to watch the game today? Who are you rooting for? If you're rooting for the Rams, let me hear you. No, I'm praying for you guys. That's wrong. That's wrong, and I'm praying for you. If you're rooting for the Bengals, let me hear from you. Yes, I'm rooting for the Bengals. I love their quarterback, Joe Burrow, my new favorite player in the NFL. Joe Burrow, a guy has like 5 or 6 different nicknames. You heard it? Like Joe Burrow, that one. Joey Franchise, Joe Cool. This is original Joe Cool. He's the new Joe Cool. Or how about this, Joe Shiesty. What a great nickname this guy. Okay, Super Bowl today, fired up. What else is coming? Tomorrow. You may have lost it in the Super Bowl, in the Super Surf Sunday. Guys, this one's for free. Tomorrow, newsflash, is Valentine's Day. It is not too late. But listen to me, it is almost too late. It is almost too late. You still have time. You're at the early service. You have a chance. There is a window between this service and what you have up there, the tailgate party, and the Super Bowl, whether you're hosting or not, there is a window that you should take advantage of. Do not wake up tomorrow morning and go, oh no, that is on you. That is on you. Okay, one more little housekeeping item up top. You have not heard about this one, but I'm telling you now, this is news breaking, and that is 3 weeks from now, on March 6th, we're making a little tweak to our Sunday service times, okay? We're going back to the service times of 9 a.m., no change for you, but the second one, the later one, is going to be 10:45 a.m. instead of 11. And the reason why is we want us to be able to have a little bit more time to connect with each other. The wider gap between service times, we weren't seeing one another. We're missing one another. There's no interaction of the church, and that's what many of us are missing. Some of you have shared that with us. We're hearing you. We think it's a better switch, and so we're going to go back to 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. You'll have 3 more weeks of reminders about that. Do you like that change? Let me hear from you if you like that change. Okay, great. That's encouraging. Okay, here, CPC today, not just Super Bowl Sunday, Super Serve Sunday. This is an awesome day. It's also the last week of a series, and we've been in it for 6 weeks. This is week 6. It's small things, big difference. Small things, big difference. We've had a big idea that we've shared each week of the series. You might even have it memorized by now. You probably know the concept anyway. It's often the small things that nobody sees that result in the big things that everybody wants. Interestingly enough, today's thing that we're looking at is not something that nobody sees. It's something that many people will see. So it doesn't quite fit this one, but same idea. Small things that nobody sees that result in the big things that everybody wants. Let me give you a quick recap of where we've been in this series. So week 1, the small thing that would make a big difference in your life, if you remember, was honor God with your body. That was out of 1 Corinthians 6. Our bodies are made by God, for God, therefore honor God with your body. Week 2, it was speak life with your words. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Every single one of us, the power of life and death. Here, watching at home, power of life and death in our tongues. Speak life with your words. Small thing that can make a big difference. Week 3, pray consistently. This was Sarah Athern's first message in big church preaching, and she absolutely killed it. And she spoke from the story of Daniel saying, if you want to have more peace in your life, if you want to have greater trust in God, pray consistently. Week 4, leverage your table. By the big table on stage, leverage your table. 3 things that it says in our New Testament that Jesus came. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, Luke 19:10. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the second thing. The third one, Jesus came eating and drinking. That's the how that he did his ministry. He leveraged his table, and he didn't even have a home table. He leveraged other people's table. We all have a table, so leverage your table. Today's a perfect opportunity to do that. The Super Bowl. Number 5, confess your sins. This was Ryan's great message from last week. Confess your sins to God. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you could be healed. And today, Here's the small thing that can make a big difference in your life. Volunteer your time. Volunteer your time. This is the big idea for today. It's three words. You can't miss it. Volunteer your time. That's the big idea. Recently, there was a Time magazine article titled "The Secret to Happiness." And they quoted an ancient proverb in it. Here's what it said. It says, if you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. You want happiness for a day? Go fishing. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help somebody. Happiness is found in helping others. Now, I know how this works because I've been a pastor for 25 years. You walk in on a day like today, and you feel the vibe, or you see what's up on the tailgate party and the blocked up top, and you see the tables, and you see the banners, and you see the big idea, volunteer your time. You see the food. You smell the burgers. They're about to cook burgers. You're going to smell the burgers, and they're going to smell good, and they're going to taste even better. But you put all this together, and you start to think, okay, I get where they're going. I see what they're doing. They want me to serve. They want me to volunteer. And then you start to think, you know, it's probably time. It's kind of part of the deal. It's my church. I'm a member. I'm a regular attender. It's something I should do. And a lot of people here, a lot of people watching at home right now, I promise you this, you've already started to feel something, and here's what it is. Guilt. Honestly, you feel guilty. And in the midst of that, you've already started to listen to that inner voice that's going like this, you know what? Okay, I'll do it. Seriously, I'll do it. I'll hang out with the kids. I'll make some coffee, whatever. Listen, I want you to hear me say this. It's the last thing we want. It's the last thing we want. And it's the last thing that I want as your pastor. And I hear it all the time. It might be the thing that I hear the most, and I've heard it from some of you, I've heard it from many of you watching at home, when I'm like out in the community, which I am a lot, and run into tons of CPCers, I hear it almost every day, multiple times a week, for sure. I hear some version of this. I know. I should come to church more. We're coming back. I'm gonna get back into it. Some of you are laughing because you've actually said this to me. And I kid you not, when I see you and you start with that, I just sit there and I go, hi. Like I'm just, how are you doing? Like, it's great to see you. This is awesome. But on your mind and in your heart a little bit is guilt. And here's where that comes from. Here's the place where that comes from. It comes from a piece in us that thinks we have to perform for God. It comes from a place where you think, I'm not doing enough for God. And I don't want that. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for our church. Guilt is not a great motivator for serving. It's not a great motivator for volunteering your time. And so as I begin to pray and think, okay, Lord, what do you want to do with this message? It's going to be a little bit shorter of a message because we want you to spend more time out there. He led me to this verse, Galatians 5 at verse 13 for a launching point. And here's what it says. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Not be ruled and live according to guilt, but free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, and then here's the lead-in, serve one another. Serve one another. And it doesn't just end right there, the Apostle Paul from Galatians 5. There's a little phrase at the end, serve one another, here's how. Humbly in love. Not serve one another out of guilt. Serve one another humbly in love. And the word in, it's just, this is what I love about the Bible. It's like you dig into it a little bit. This word right here, this littlest word in the whole thing, in the Greek, really means through, and a literal translation of what it means in the Greek is through the channel of. So it's like, brothers and sisters, not guilt. I want you to be free. And here's one of the things I want you to do as you exercise your freedom. Serve one another humbly through the channel of love. Love. Love that. And here's what I know about many of you. you know what it's like to love someone so much or be in love with someone on Valentine's Day tomorrow. Second reminder. We're not even 10 minutes in. Two reminders. I am for you right now. You know what it's like to be in love with someone, and when you're in love with someone, it is a joy to serve them. It's not a burden. It's a joy. You're glad to serve them because you're doing it through the channel of love. So the goal here, the hope, what I've been praying for, is that you're going to be thinking throughout today, and as we look at this a volunteer form a little bit later, you're going like, I actually love kids. Some of you are going to go, I love kids. So I want to serve. It would be a joy to serve in CPC Kids. Some of you are thinking, I love the middle school age. Like, it's there's so much energy there. I like to be where the action, there's so much action there. I want to serve in middle school. Some of you are going, no, that's not for me. What's for me is I love life change. I love the time where there's forks in the roads and people are owning. Like, I want high school. I want to serve at Rock where young men and young women are making decisions that shape the trajectory of their lives and have life-changing experiences like going to Mexico. Like, and I'm just going to tell you, our whole family is going to Mexico. I'm going, Bridget's going, Trevor, Owen, Cole. We're building a house over spring break. You can join us if you want. It's going to be amazing. And 100-plus high schoolers. But it's like, some of you going like, I love technology. That's one of the things you love about this church. You're at home going like, I love that our church has the technology to reach people. You might be out of town. You might be out of state. And you might, I love technology. And you have gifts. You have expertise in that area. You might want to join the production team. That's where you're. What about hospitality? You love opening up your home and inviting people into your home to make them feel loved, to make them feel special. That leveraging your table sermon from a couple weeks ago, you're like, you are preaching to me. That is my love language. I had people come up to me going, this was my message. This is what we do with our lives. So in guest services or hospitality, it might be a great fit for you. But the bottom line is, it's not out of guilt. No, you're free in Christ, you see. But the goal, the prayer, is to serve one another humbly through the channel of love. So this morning, a little bit of biblical teaching on serving, because I want you to understand conceptually what the Bible teaches about it. And I'm going to make it a personal invite, super clear, crystal clear. This is my personal invitation to you to volunteer your time. I'm going to lead you through some simple action steps you can do that, and then we're going to close up with the benefits, the blessings that you will experience, that other people experience when you serve. So first, some biblical teaching. Here's the first truth. Very, very simple, very, very clear. Number one, we all have a different shape. I'm not talking physical shape right now. We all have a different shape, and I'm using that as an acronym, and here's what it stands for. If you've been here for a long time, I think it was maybe 7, 8 years ago, we did a whole series on this idea of shape. It's an acronym. Here's what it stands for. Spiritual gifts. We all have them. They're different. We'll teach on that in a second. We all have a different heart. We all have different abilities. We have different personality. We all have a different experiences. So that's the first point that the Bible makes very clear. We all have a different shape. Now, let me take you to really the preeminent passage in all of Scripture where God teaches about these spiritual gifts, these things where he gives every person who's a believer in Christ gifts from the Spirit of God to use to serve other people humbly in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 1, this is where he starts. He says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know. And then he explains a few verses later. He says this, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. So that's just a perfect description in Scripture. We all have a different shape, same God. We all have different service gifts, same God. We all have different workings, places to serve, same God. He goes on. He gives a picture of what this looked like, just as a body. Like a physical body. though one, has many parts: arms, hands, shoulders, legs, feet, ears, nose, mouth. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. The body of Christ. He summarizes this motif in this chapter in verse 27. As a pastor, it's one of my favorite verses, and it says this: "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." You, look around, literally right now, look right and left. Look right and left. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We all have a different shape. We all have different gifts from the same God. That's the first point I want you to see from Scripture. Here's the second one. God has shaped and gifted us on purpose for a purpose. God has shaped and gifted every single one of us on purpose for a purpose. Now we're going to go back into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? And look what Paul says here in verses 18 to 20. He says, "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them," I love this phrase, "just as he wanted them to be." Every single one of you has gifts, the exact gifts that he wanted you to have. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. He really wants to get that point across. Many parts, one body. This phrase right here, "just as he wanted them to be," man, it's a beautiful phrase. Because here's what it speaks against. It speaks against traps that we all fall into when we think about our spiritual gifts. Here's the first trap I was thinking of: comparison. Comparison. Like, you look right and left and go, "I don't have the gifts that she has." You compare them to her. You compare them to him. You compare them to me. I compare them to you. No, we all have different gifts. Some of you would not be caught dead on a stage teaching. You're like, "Are you kidding me? I would die of a heart attack." Whereas for me, it's like breathing, because it's just what he wanted to do, what he wanted to give me. And others of you have these gifts of administration where I look at you and I just go, "Oh, I would love to have that." Comparison. That's a trap, spiritual gifts. Here's another one: projection. In our pride, kinda, we want other people to have the same gifts that we do. "Well, he's not and she's not." That's another trap. Here's a third trap when you think of spiritual gifts that really fly in the face of this: a sovereign God whose creator created us sons and daughters and give us all different gifts just as he wanted them to be. Here's a third little trap: it's rejection. And believe it or not, I think that's one that might be most common among us. And what rejection is we're unwilling to discover or to utilize the gifts that he's given us. And I don't know why. We're too busy. We're too selfish. I don't know what we are. But we're rejecting the gifts that God, our sovereign creator God, has given us. Now, why has he given us those gifts? He answers that question too. Look at this, verse 7. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit," that's a fancy phrase for the giving of the gifts, "is given for the common good." This one is amazing. This is why God gives us these gifts. It's not even for you. It's not even for me. It's for the common good. Our gifts are given to us to be given to others. So I think, "Oh my gosh, this gift is so good. It's meant to bless my life." No, look at me. It's meant to bless other people's lives. God makes it clear in Scripture, the purpose of the gifts are to build up the body and to edify the church. That's why we have gifts. Now, Peter, one of the apostles, leader of the apostles, he says in 1 Peter chapter 4 something, he makes it very clear. Here's what he says: "Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." So straightforward. Whatever gifts God has given you, use them to serve others. That's part of being a faithful steward of God's grace in various forms. And I want to illustrate this for you. I want to illustrate it through a video. It's a video from an amazing servant around here. He's a volunteer. His name's Joe Iacovazzi. Some of you might know him. Here's a little bit of his story. Take a look.
I'm Joe Iacovazzi. I have been coming to CPC since August of 2019, roughly. I was born and raised in the Catholic Church. Going to church was just kind of on autopilot. It was something you did, but not something you lived. And I want to change, and I mean, the fact that there was this Presbyterian church just a walk from where my wife was living at the time and said, yeah, I go here every so often. My parents will come here. We were members pretty involved when I was younger growing up. And I said, you know, let's try it out. And I was hooked as soon as I got here, as soon as the worship music was going on and then just hearing Tyler preach for the first time. There was just something special about this place, and that was when I was still visiting. So fast forward a year later and I moved out here, and it was just a no-brainer to come out here and just really to worship and worship the word, worship the name in Jesus the way that I really feel that we're called to be. It's something that has not been in my life before. So that's how I got involved with CPC to begin with, just coming as a member. And then honestly, it just flowed into the connection here. And you can't come here and not feel welcomed or be called to do something, to be involved. I've never been a part of a big community like that where they're just always actively asking people to get involved and really just provide your gifts and talents for a higher purpose. There was a sermon that Tyler was preaching at during the pandemic. And basically what he told us was, if you're struggling and you're trying to find purpose, trying to find meaning, go serve someone, was the message. And that just hit home, because when I serve someone or something, I'm only thinking about that cause. I'm not thinking about myself. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, I really did serve myself at the same time. I served something that I needed, that I had been missing. And that's just really the beauty of serving and why I do it. And it's just something I can't see myself not doing. With everything with the post-pandemic and how we feel towards it, my wife and I were still not comfortable coming to full service. But that didn't stop me, and I just joined the guest services team. Based on how service times are and the need, there's setup times that are needed at 7 in the morning. And I'm fortunately a morning person. I love getting up early, even on the weekends. And it was just something easy that I could do. So I come in on Sundays. If there's seating outside, I'll set up the chairs and the heaters, help set up coffee tables, pretty much whatever's needed inside and outside of the church to get ready for the first service. And I'm there for it. So I come in at 7, and then I leave around 8 a.m. after it's all done before services start, and then I go home and watch service with my wife. For those that may be on the fence about volunteering, you know, maybe it's an introvert, extrovert thing, maybe it's a social thing or a limitation, you know, I just maybe sit back and ask yourself, who told you that, or how did you come to that? Because when you come to this place, you are welcome with open arms. There is no judgment. Everyone sees you for who you are. There's no shame, no guilt, nothing. When you come here, you can just be yourself. You can bring your whole authentic self. And I just feel that that is the opening a lot of people need to be able to offer up their time and service and wanting to do that, wanting to, again, find purpose. If you're really struggling with purpose, if you're having trouble at home, in the classroom, at work, with work colleagues, going to church with a community of believers is probably the best place that you can find purpose again and really just find trust and find community.
Isn't that great? So, one thing I love about Joe, by the way, Joe, you're probably watching at home. How are you? Good to see you. Thank you for serving. I saw you here earlier this morning. Helped set up all that. Went home. His wife has an autoimmune disease, so they watch from home. But it doesn't stop him from serving. Some of you going, I prefer being at home. Doesn't need to stop you from serving. But now we get to this point in the message where with that story, with Joe's story as an inspiration, I just want to directly invite you into something. And here it is right here. Get in the game. Get in the game of using your gifts that God has given you to serve one another humbly through the channel of love. That's the invitation. So let me give you an illustration of that even. We used to, for years, we had a front desk, like an office manager, receptionist person. Her name's Roberta Motter. She was promoted. Matter of fact, she's our amazing facilities director right now. But she was the first face that you would see when you walked into the front door of the office. She was amazing at that. So when she was promoted, she moved into a different office, and we didn't have someone, and we didn't want to backfill that position. And we were going, what should we do? And then another employee, who's our amazing chief of staff, her name's Carol Mascali, she said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite several different volunteers to take different shifts to fill that space. And so she went out and she recruited. She personally invited, and she landed with 12 different volunteers that trade off little short shifts to fill that role. And she said, almost to a man or a woman, the people that I asked said, I'm so honored that you would ask. I just figured everything was covered. I was waiting for someone to ask me. So let me clarify something for you. This is me. My name's Tyler. I serve as your lead pastor. I am asking you, I am inviting you to use your gifts to find a place to serve your brothers and sisters humbly through the channel of love, not of guilt, of love. Amen? That is your formal invitation. Little equation for that. Many of you have, this is your presence right here. You're here. You'd love to find or experience your purpose. You're just going like, what is that step? Here's what gets you to the purpose. Participation. Moving from just here, sitting here, going, coming in and out, to participating, using your gifts, and finding your purpose. Reminds me of an amazing quote from Martin Luther King Jr., one of my favorites. Actually, here on Black History Month. He says, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? What are you doing for others? And I want to share one more thing about this before I give you your action steps that we roll out of here. We talked this last week in our production meeting, and I asked all the different ministry leaders, hey, could you aggregate the number of volunteers that you're looking for? Like, honestly, what are we praying for? What is our goal? Because I said, I'm going to start praying for a specific number, but put them in, like, these are the places that we're hoping, that we're praying, that we're asking, that we're believing God to raise up through our church, just even during this week, this weekend. And I said, I'm going to pray my own number. And the number that God put on my heart is this number right here, 250. That 250 people would say, you know what? I'm going to sign up. I want to use my gifts to serve. Interestingly enough, when we aggregated all of the asks for the different ministries and the different teams, it was just under 250. So I'm just going, okay, that's the number. Now, with that number, at a church our size, we actually need a lot of you not to think, I hope those other people sign up to serve. I really hope God moves in other people's hearts, okay? It's more of like, okay, Lord, what are you calling me to do? Okay, action steps, and then we'll be on our way. Action steps for you. Here's the first one. Fill out the volunteer form. So everybody has one. They're probably on a chair, your chair or the chair next to you. It looks like this. And I'm just going to give you a few seconds right here, even in the midst of the service, to open that. There's a pen attached to everyone. There's a pen attached to everyone if you prefer pen and paper. If not, you might be one of the QR code people. We're going like, I'd prefer to just get that on my phone and hyperspeed that thing right in there. And to be totally honest, that's easier on us. You could sign up so quickly. I'm going to give you about 15 seconds, even now, to either fill this out or just look over where might be a good fit for you to serve. So that's your first action step right there. Fill out the volunteer form somehow, some way. Here's the second one, and I want you to experience this right here today. Have fun at the tailgate party. This thing is all set up for you. Family games, kids games. bounce houses, pop a shot, free food, great burgers, shave ice. It's probably going to be 15 degrees warmer up there than when you walked in here this morning. So you have shave ice. There's a photo booth. There's different tents, tables of all the different ministry teams that you see right here, plus extras. Some of you might be wondering, gosh, I would volunteer, but am I going to get trained? Every single one of those ministries has an opportunity to be trained in the very near future to serve. And so everybody will be equipped if you just feel a nudge or a pull. I'm going to show you like a quick, it's like a 5 to 10 second video of what it looks like up there. If you didn't see that coming in, maybe you parked down here. I think we have that. If we have it, I'll show it to you. This is just, I was just taken this morning. Like that whole thing is set up for all of you. There's music up there. There's MCs up there to personally welcome you. I mean, this thing is going to be a vibe. Okay, back to the list. Here's number three. This is the last action step. Enjoy the blessings of volunteering. There's so many blessings of that small thing that will make a big difference in your life. In Joe's video, I think like 5 times, maybe more, he used the word purpose. I found my purpose. I feel like I'm living with purpose. That's one great blessing or benefit to serving. Another one would be people, connecting to people. I'm going to show you one more little video. It's less than a minute. It's less than a minute. This is a story of someone named Maggie who serves in our ministry. Look at a glimpse of her story.
My name is Maggie Suess. I've been coming to CPC since June of 2017. And currently I volunteer in CPC Kids and in the coffee ministry. What drew me to start volunteering was the sense of being connected. I wanted to meet new people. I wanted to have that sense that I was helping. I love going to church, but a step after that is how can I impact others? How can I be useful? How can I be helpful? It's about pouring Christ into others and by caring for others, and that's what I'm doing when I'm volunteering. For those that are thinking about volunteering, I would just say do it. The impact it will give in your life, the sense of purpose, the people you meet, the connection to others, that you are just a part of this family now, is worth it.
The connection to others, that community, and the last thing is shit, the impact. That's when I think of that, I look at this, and this is not a list, this is not slots to fill. I think of the impact of these people and these ministries, the impact of someone who's new, for instance. Just look at the first one, guest services. Someone drives up, maybe this is you, maybe you drive up for the first time onto a church campus, you've never been here before. But you see Danny Dodge in the parking ministry, smiling. You see Brian Johnson smiling. You get to the curb after you've parked your car, and you see Sally Banks with a sign that says, "You're welcome here. We're so glad you're here." And then you come through the door, and you see Sandy, or you see Bridget welcoming you. You've had like 4 different, you see Doug Thompson want to give you a hug on the front curb, like those types of things. On your way in, it's a warm and welcoming environment. Those things make an impact. Some of you have gifts in photography. Photography. There's photographers, talented photographers here. We need you to be able to volunteer during a service to take those. We have thousands of people following online on our social media account. We're looking for talented photographers to go, like, I'll volunteer my skill to take some of those during services. Photographers. Online hosts. There's another one. Every week, we average about 3,000 people watching our services online. And we need a few hosts to engage with you who are watching online, to build community and connection online. You're already there. You're watching online. You're computer savvy. You're tech savvy. Nursery, preschool. The last 3 weeks, you might not know this, we've had a completely full preschool and nursery rooms where we've had to close the rooms. Too many kids. What a great problem to have, amen? So I asked Stephanie Stagel, our CPC Kids Director, like, what do you need? She goes, I need 25 people. I need 25 people to volunteer. It might even just be to hold babies. Some of you are going like, I miss babies. Now is your time. Lead ambassadors for the Valley and so on and so forth. So many opportunities. No matter the time that you have, we have an opportunity for you. But the big idea is volunteer time. We all have a different shape. God has given us gifts and shaped us on purpose for a purpose, but we got to get in the game. Students, seniors, empty nesters, families, families with young kids. We just came through a phase in our lives where we had a bunch of young kids, and we were around a lot of friends with younger kids who are now growing up. And there's a temptation for families with young kids in our, and there's a lot of them in our church, to go, we just cannot serve during this season of my life, of our lives. My encouragement to you is, I don't think you can afford not to serve at that season. It's, think about it like intellectually. Is it really a wise thing for people to take a 10 to 15 year break from serving in their lives while they're raising their kids? Or is that a good thing for young kids to see doing as a family or a ministry? Well, you get the idea. You get the idea. Let's stand and let's pray. We're gonna be on our way here. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the chance to learn from your word again, to be encouraged that we are not called to volunteer our time or to serve out of guilt. We don't want to be motivated by that. We want to be motivated by love, to serve one another humbly through the channel of love. Thank you, God, that you've given us gifts in a different shape, each every one of us. Thank you, the Lord, that you have given us gifts and a shape on purpose and for a purpose. Help us, Lord, to get in the game in an area where it's just a fit for how you have made us. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to discover these blessings. It could be purpose, it could be people and community and relationships, it could be making an impact, it could be a combination therein, Lord. So now, Lord, give us a great time together as we tailgate and party and play a little bit and explore different opportunities to serve. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Hey, when we see you next week we're launching a brand new series, and that new series is called Jesus Stories. We're gonna be in a series all the way up through Easter about personal encounters with Jesus and how life transformation comes from that. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.